So I welcome all of you to the prayers of Queen Kunti. As I wrote in the description of the course, there will be no homework and no tests. So you're just here to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting. And there will be maybe a little writing in class, very little, but it will be just to churn the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we'll discuss a little bit about the different types of prayer. And from tomorrow we'll hear how one devotee prayed, how she expressed her mind, how she expressed her feelings to Lord Krishna. And we'll analyze also her prayer and how it fits in with the different categories of prayer. And this will be also with reference to the lectures of Srila Prabhupada. Because personally, I don't have that much realization, so I prefer to tell you Prabhupada's realization. So I think that will help you very much in your spiritual life. As his disciple, it's my duty to represent Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, I hope this will be helpful when you hear his realizations on these verses according to his lectures. Come in. Okay, does anybody see a bag? Yellow bag. I'll call your names so I can get to know you. And there's a lot more people here than there are names. So what I'm going to do after I call the names, I'll pass it around. And if your name is not here, you please write it. And the grade of this course will be according to your attendance. So all you have to do is be here and you pass. And if you're not here, you fail. Okay? So, Anandamaya Das, yes. Okay. Srimati, yes. Leela Madhuri, yes. Krishna Priya, yes. Okay, Analakshita. Analakshita, okay. Subhangara. Subhangara, okay. Nari Devidasi, good. Vanamali Das, yes. Sita Malian. How do you say that? Sita Mohan. Oh, yes. I should wear my glasses. Okay, Sita Mohan. Bhakta Swini. Yes, okay. Manjari. Okay, now whoever didn't get called, please write your names on the list. Yes. The books are finished. So what I would request, if somebody has a Bhagavatam at home, they can bring it to class tomorrow, and then we'll have another. Here's another book for you. Someone brought it to class today, so you're lucky. We do have an extra book. Krishna provides, usually in Vrindavan. If you have the desire, you get what you desire. So here's an example right here of someone who desired a book, and they got it. The mercy of Krishna. No prayers go in vain, and no desire. So we will learn that. One of the things we'll learn about prayer here. So, if there is time, we'll also get into the prayers of Bhishma, which are very wonderful at the time of death. How to pray at the time of death, what to pray for, how to glorify Krishna. If you have time at the time of death, and it's good to make very nice prayers. So in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva describes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now why I'm talking about Krishna's lotus feet is because by seriously studying the prayers of Queen Kunti, we are trying to approach the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And so Lord Shiva says, your lotus feet are so beautiful, they are like two blossoming petals of the lotus, which grow in the autumn season. The nails of your feet emanate such a great effulgence that they destroy all the darkness in the heart of a conditioned soul. So, does anybody here have a gloomy heart, a dark heart? Need some light in your heart? So here's the way to do it. You meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. And we're going to actually be doing this by studying these prayers of Queen Kunti. Srila Prabhupada explains how. When a devotee wants to see the form of the Lord, he begins to meditate first on the Lord's lotus feet. Now, here's how we do it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the form of the Lord. It's none different. This is just a rough draft. I have a very beautiful picture, but unfortunately it's in Delhi. But if it comes back before the next 2 weeks, then I'll put it up. And you'll see the whole Bhagavatam. So here we see the two lotus feet of Krishna are the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. His legs are the third and fourth. His navel is the fifth canto. And his arms are the seventh. Well, we forgot six. Six is his chest. Seven and eight is his arms. Nine is his neck. 10 is his lotus face. 11 and 12, his forehead and his head. So in this way, Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's none different from Krishna. Now we're going to be concentrating on Krishna's lotus feet in this seminar. So hopefully at the end of this seminar, or maybe at the end of your life, or sometime in your life, you'll get a glimpse of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And we hope that we will push you towards that goal here. Even if you don't see his lotus feet, at least you'll appreciate them more by studying these prayers of Queen Kunti. So Srila Prabhupada explains what happens if the lotus feet of Krishna come in your heart and destroy all the darkness of ignorance, that all doubts and all fears in your heart are destroyed. So Krishna, Prabhupada describes that Krishna, he's our spiritual master in our heart. And he gets rid of all the darkness in our heart, all the anarthas. And the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, he enlightens us from without. So we have these two things going for us. So we'll try to study these prayers. Srila Prabhupada said that if one studies these prayers or studies Srimad Bhagavatam, then all the truths of the Vedas will be revealed. Oftentimes we see in prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam that we get enlightenment about knowledge about Krishna, Sambandha Gyan. So these prayers are no different. We will get this enlightenment. So we're going to discuss a little bit about prayer. First, I'll just fill you in on this part of Bhagavatam, what's happening. The battle of Kurukshetra has just ended. And Krishna and all the Pandavas and all the ladies have gone down to the Jamuna to offer oblations to the forefathers. They've offered Ganga water to the forefathers, to all the people who died in the battle. And Krishna is getting on his chariot and he's getting ready to leave for Dwarka. And suddenly, Uttara comes. Uttara is the daughter-in-law of Arjuna. She comes running to Krishna and he's ready, getting ready to leave. She says, "Krishna, please don't go." She says, these are her exact words. "Pahi, pahi, mahoyogin, deva, deva, jagatpate, nanya tadavayam pashe, yatra mityu parasparam." So why she's praying is that Ashvatthama has sent a brahmastra, just like a nuclear bomb. But this kind of bomb doesn't kill everyone. It's very smart. It's a smart weapon. It just goes to one person. So this atomic bomb was aimed at Parikshit, who was in the womb of Uttara. So she's running, she's going to die any second, and this is her prayer at the end of life. Hopefully she'll be saved by Krishna, but she doesn't know, and this is what she's saying. "Please save me, Mahayogin." She calls him the greatest of the yogis. Now why would she call Krishna the greatest of the yogis in this particular situation? Why would she call him that? Yes. Yes, because he has all mystic power. He can counteract the weapon. What's another reason? Anybody who is a yogi knows one of the mystic powers that yogis have. They can enter into others' bodies. So, she's hoping that Krishna will enter into her body like a yogi does and save her embryo. And that's just what Krishna does. He goes into Uttara's body and he protects Parikshit from the Brahmastra weapon. So then Arjuna, when he was in a similar situation, in the seventh chapter, a Brahmastra was thrown at him and all the other Pandavas. And he also prayed, and he prayed in a similar way, that Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho Bhaktanam Abhayankara, that Krishna, mighty armed, Oh, mighty arm, you have so many arms, or your arms are very powerful. You please protect me from this Ramashtra. Of course, he didn't say it directly. He said it indirectly. First, he glorified both of these devotees. They're in such great danger. At any second, they may die. And first, they don't forget to glorify Krishna. They call him beautiful names. Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, this and that. We would just say, help! You know, but they've got a great presence of mind that they are remembering the glories of Krishna, even at such a time of great danger. And so Arjuna also says that, Krishna, you come as an incarnation to remove the benefit of the world, the burden of the world, and to benefit your friends. So he's telling Krishna that I'm your friend, so therefore, what should you do? Protect me. He doesn't just say, come out and say, protect me, but he says, you come to help your friends. So, I'm your friend. Therefore, you should help me at this point. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prayed in a similar way for protection from Lord Krishna. What was the prayer? Which prayer of Shikshastakam did Lord Chaitanya say? Yes. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patityam mam. That, oh, son of Mahajnanda. He didn't say Mahayogin. He didn't say Deva Deva. Actually, he said it much more personally. He said, you are the son of Nanda Maharaj. So he was very personal. But still he was praying that I'm in a very dangerous position. Vishame, Bhavambuddha, I'm in this horrible ocean, material existence. You please, please pick me up. So Prabhupada explains that we should understand what a dangerous position we're in. Most of the time we go along and we don't think. Just like recently in America, nobody thought that we are in danger. We are number one. We're the best nation in the world. We can fight and just see. And I just got an email from my brother who's in America. And he said like this, that this is how the Americans are feeling after this. He said, there have been many in the USA whom never had to sacrifice anything. They never had felt fear. And they never felt vulnerability. And the events of September 11th have shocked them into reality of other countries. So this is, all of a sudden, Krishna does this to you. And you're shocked into reality that, you know, this is a very dangerous place. And when you feel like you're in a dangerous place, then a pious person, they will pray, they will turn to God. And I was talking to Brahmananda and Gargamuni yesterday, and they were saying that now in America, that everyone's going to the bookstore and trying to get religious books. That they're selling out very fast. And the psychiatrists also. The psychiatrists are booked up. But also the religious books are going like anything. So pious people, when they're in danger, they will turn to Krishna. Who knows a verse from Bhagavad Gita that says, four kinds of pious people. Yes. That is, Chaturvita Bhajante Mam, Jana Sukhitunor Jana. Four kinds of pious men render service to me. So now we see that it is a time of great crisis in the world today. So if we think about it, this is a seminar. It's also not only on the prayers of Queen Kunti, it's about prayer in general. So we see what a dangerous position the world is in right now. What prayer could we say for the benefit of the world? What would be a good prayer that we could pray right now in this present time? Just think about it. Just think, what kind of prayer, if they asked you, you're in the United Nations, they say, please say a prayer for the world today. What would you say? Hare Krishna Mahamantra, okay, that's very good. Yes? Prayers of? Ah, Gajendra, yes, yes. I have a picture of him, actually. Prayers of Gajendra, okay. What else would you say? Yes? Yes, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Okay, now we're hearing other people's. What would you say, yourself, personally? Of course, Hare Krishna is our prayer too, and these are our prayers. But in your own words, what would you say? Yes? What prayers? Gopi prayers, okay? Anybody else? Just if you had a few words to say, what would you say to the world? Yes? Last prayer. Okay. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. Okay? You had your hand up? Your name is Krishna. Oh no, Krishnapriya? Yes. Okay, you would pray to help to remember Krishna in any situation. Okay? What about the rest of the world? Yes? Ishwara? Oh, Suhiram. Okay. So she would pray the verse in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram, Yagichapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that Krishna is a friend of everyone, Suhiram Sarvabhutanam. Okay? I have a very nice prayer here by Prahlad Maharaj that I also felt was very significant and very appropriate for this time. Prahlad Maharaj says, may there be good fortune throughout the universe. As you said, prayers of Prahlad. May all envious persons be pacified. So this is why they're fighting, because they're envious. So then he says, may all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. So then he changes their hearts. The only way you can actually change the people's hearts is by bhakti yoga. So he prays for everyone to become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he says, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. So now, you know, the Americans, they want to, you know, get all the terrorists, and the terrorists want to get the Americans. Just like my brother here, in the last part of his letter, he's saying, terrorists are a lot like cockroaches, in my mind. Where to get rid of them? You have to eradicate them all, because if you leave a couple behind, before you know it, they have multiplied beyond belief. So there we have it, that, you know, they just want to kill each other. So we have to get free from this enviousness. We have to perform, and the only way to do that is to perform devotional service. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Shri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Okay, I just closed the book. Okay, I have the page number. On this book, it's, oh yeah, I have it here. Fifth canto, 18th chapter, verse 9. That's a prayer that comes to my mind often if I see some conflict. And it's just a prayer for peace, actually. And it's the way to get peace, too. Not only does he pray for peace, but he gives us a solution to the problem of war. That they're fighting because they're all envious of each other. So yesterday, I was also talking to Brahmananda, and he has experience with Srila Prabhupada. 1967, Srila Prabhupada had a heart attack. I believe it was the third heart attack. He had two on the boat going to America, and then he had one more when he just, a year or two after he arrived in America. So in that condition, he was in a very critical condition. He didn't know if he was going to live, and so therefore he went back to India, perhaps to die. He said he didn't know if he was coming back. So before he went, when he was very sick, he asked Brahmananda to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So Brahmananda said, which part? Srila Prabhupada said, read prayers of Queen Kunti. Then again, in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was extremely ill in Vrindavan. And I was in Calcutta, all of us, we had to pray a special prayer for Srila Prabhupada, that he gave us this prayer, my dear Lord, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. He didn't say, just cure me, you know, but he said, if you desire. So we had to leave it up to Krishna. And not only that, we were doing 24-hour kirtan. So like in my temple in Calcutta, there were only 10 devotees. So we had, plus besides, each of us had schedules of like 20 hours a day, but plus we had to do 2 hours of kirtan. So Prabhupada was very sick in 74. Again, Brahmananda was with him as his secretary in Vrindavan. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, again, Srila Prabhupada asked him, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmananda asked, which part? Srila Prabhupada said, prayers of Queen Kunti. So these prayers are very significant. They're meant for a time of crisis. They're meant for a time of danger. And when you actually enter into the spirit of these prayers, If you're afraid, you'll become pacified, you'll become solaced. If you want liberation, then you'll find out what's the best kind of liberation from her prayers. You'll find out about Krishna, you'll find out about the rasas between Krishna and his devotees. And so, this is what we're going to be studying. From tomorrow, we'll be hearing the prayers. And today, I will continue a little bit Utra says, "Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord." So Krishna saves the embryo. Again, he gets on his chariot to leave for Dwarka, but then he sees Kunti. And she is like his mother. She's his aunt. So he's stopped by her when she starts to offer these beautiful prayers. She starts to express her heart very frankly and very truthfully how she feels about Lord Krishna. So in verse 17, if you like, you can turn to your book. In verse 17, it's the beginning of the description of her prayers. It's not. We'll start the prayers tomorrow, but this is just the beginning. Shukadeva Goswami says, Suta Goswami, "Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons, and Draupadi, addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home." So not only was Kunti there offering prayers, Draupadi was there, and the five Pandavas, Arjuna, Bhima, Yudhisthira, Nakula, and Sahadev, they're all there offering prayers to Lord Krishna. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Kunti is described herein as sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Shri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. So my question is to you, that here Kunti is described as a chaste devotee. What does it mean to be a chaste devotee of Lord Krishna? Chaste. Yeah, everybody knows what that word means. English is second language. Yes, Prabhu, Vanamali? Only to Krishna. Yeah, like Krishna says, what he says in Bhagavad Gita at the end. I know you didn't get there yet, but... Ananya. Okay? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse, a very famous verse. He says, only me, me only. I know it's ahead of your time. Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mam Ekam. Only surrender to me, not to anybody else. Okay, so this is a good meaning of chaste, and that's exactly what Prabhupada says. So it's a very good meaning of chaste. Anything else we can say about what it means? Yes. Good. To be chaste to Prabhupada and his teachings. To be chaste to your spiritual master, especially to Prabhupada, we are followers of Prabhupada. Prabhupada Anugas. To be chaste. So what does it mean to be chaste to Srila Prabhupada? Vishakapriya. To follow the principles of pure devotional service. Very good. What else? Nyabhilashita Shunyam. Yes. Karma, yeah, okay. What's that? Okay. It's the same kind of verse in Nectar Devotion. Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, yes? To be active in his mission, good. That means not only do you follow his teachings, you preach his teachings. You perpetuate his teachings. So your part, when you preach, when you perpetuate Prabhupada's teachings, you're part of the parampara. You're connected with the parampara. Yes, Leela Madhuri? Same. Okay, good. It's confirmed. Anybody else? Yes. Higher levels. Yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us everything from beginning to end. Yes. Change lines. Yes, we should be loyal, we should be faithful to Srila Prabhupada. How can we change? How can we leave him? He's given us everything. Actually, not sure. To take sannyas, they go somewhere. Yeah, so we have to be very faithful. And this will be appreciated by Krishna also, if you remain faithful. I was in last year in Prabhupada's disappearance day. Gargamuni Prabhu made a very interesting statement, which I feel is true, that he was saying that here in Vrindavan there are so many groups, many, many groups of Vaishnavas. And whoever you are, and whatever group you belong to, you're here because of Srila Prabhupada, because he went to the West, because he took the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. No matter where, who you are in Vrindavan, which group you belong to, if you're from the West especially, then you're here because of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to appreciate that. And we have to try to help to spread his teachings. Even there may be some fault in his mission, there's also fault in us. And by trying to spread his teachings, then we can not only remove our faults, but if we see some other fault, then that can be removed in our eyes. So this is a very important point. Parikshit also, so here Prabhupada in the purport will continue, a chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely under any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. Yes. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was always also ready to help them in all respects and all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates dependence of the devotee. One should not therefore look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods. One should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. So in the second canto of Bhagavatam, it is said, Mukunde Mati Sati. This is describing Parikshit Maharaj. He was Mukunde Mati Sati. Shukadeva said that this Bhagavatam I'm going to tell you because you are Mukunde Mati Sati. You are very chaste. Your mind doesn't go away a second from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So if we actually give full attention to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll get faith. We'll get faith in Bhagavatam and we'll get faith in Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explained this point, that one time there was one devotee, a very big devotee, big devotee, and he went to Lord Chaitanya and he said to Lord Chaitanya, I've written a wonderful commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, better than anybody else, even better than Sridhar Swami. Just have a look at it. So what did Lord Chaitanya say? I reject your commentary. You think you're better than Sridhar Swami? If someone doesn't accept him, then he's a prostitute. If someone doesn't accept his Swami. So this is what Lord Chaitanya said. So we should never think that we can say something better or something new from what our guru has told us. This is being a chaste devotee. So Kunti, in her prayer, she's not making anything up. She's following strictly in the parampara line of disciplic succession. So Prabhupada, even Lord Chaitanya said that, I am a fool before my spiritual master, Guru More Murkodeki Korya Shashan. He said, my spiritual master called me a fool. And he said, you cannot study Vedanta, you just chant Hare Krishna. That's better. So we should not think that we know more than our spiritual master. This is the problem why sometimes devotees leave. They think, I know more than my guru, therefore I can go and find somewhere else something better. But you won't find something better. You will find something worse. Just like my godbrother, Nitai, when Prabhupada was here, he asked permission from Srila Prabhupada to go and take... Actually, he asked for Prabhupada's blessings to go and take initiation from somebody else. So Prabhupada said, I'll curse you that you will never get a guru for a day of Brahma, millions of lifetimes. So that's how Prabhupada felt about that. So therefore, we want to be chaste in our hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there was a question. Now I want to get back to prayer. One time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that when we pray, if a sincere devotee prays to Krishna, does the guru hear those prayers? Is he consciously aware of those prayers? So what do you think Srila Prabhupada said? Yeah?
Krishna wants.
Krishna wants. Okay? That's a good answer. Anything else? He said yes. He said, no conscious prayers go in vain. They are heard by Krishna. And here, no conscious desires go in vain here. So watch out what you desire. So prayers, are, Prabhupada said, are transmitted positively. But one thing you must know, that any prayer you offer to your spiritual master and superior spiritual master, they are conveyed to Krishna. They all go to Krishna. So no sincere prayers go in vain. So he said our process is that we offer prayers to our spiritual master, superior spiritual master, Vaishnava Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, and at the end, Radha Krishna. So that's how to pray. That's the proper way to pray. Yes. So now I'd like to glorify prayer a little bit. In the sixth canto, the Supreme Lord himself glorifies prayer. And he's very pleased with the prayers of the demigods. So he says, my dear demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I'm certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and he remembers my position. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. So this is the source of devotional service to me. Unfortunately, some people, they do not know how to pray to Krishna. Prabhupada calls them impersonalists. Impersonalists, they don't know how to pray. We'll get into that more tomorrow, how they pray. How do impersonalists pray? So we want to pray in a personal way to Krishna. And that's why we're studying the prayers of Kunti, because she's praying in a very personal way. We can learn how to pray from her. Srila Prabhupada says how to pray in a personal way is like saying, like Lord Brahma prayed, Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So what I'd like to do right now for a few minutes is just have a little discussion on prayer. What are the benefits of praying? And why should we pray? What is the necessity of praying to Krishna? What is the benefit of praying? Has anybody experienced any benefit? You've been devotees? How many has been a devotee here for 2 years? How many has been in association? More than 2 years? Oh, so many. So you must have some experience of praying, right? Must have some experience. So what benefit? Has anybody here gotten any benefit? What's the benefit of praying? Yes? Right, the miseries of material nature. Yes. Oh, he answers your prayers. Sometimes. Oh, sometimes he answers your prayers. Well, that's a very good reason to pray. Yeah. And sometimes... Very good. Okay, one of the nine processes of bhakti. Right. Srimati Prabhu? Okay, when we pray, it strengthens our relationship with Krishna and our dependence on Him. Yes? Oh, when we pray to Krishna, we understand He's a person because He answers our prayers. Right. And He cares about us too. When I was a new devotee, a new bhakti, one of the things we had to do, all of the devotees, we had to go in line one by one up to the deities once a week. And we had to reveal our minds. And we had to pray. That was just one of the things we used to do in the old days. So that was a very nice thing. What's that? Everybody. I was a new bhakti. Everybody had to do. Yes. Everybody, one by one, we had to go and offer, reveal it. They called it revealing your mind. I think it's one of the 64 items. Yes? Oh, okay. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah, we could say it. Yeah, it wasn't that loud, but sometimes people would hear. It wasn't like an announcement, though. my mind is wasn't. No, it was more private, actually. No, it wasn't an announcement. No. It would have been very interesting that way, actually, if we had done it that way. So today, this one has this trouble and that one has that trouble. No, it was not like that. It was actually very private, I remember, but and very personal also, that we had to go up and pray. Okay? Anybody else? Yes? It increases your faith? Is that what you... Test your faith, yeah. What if Krishna doesn't answer? Or what if he doesn't answer the way you want him to answer? Usually that's what happens. He answers, but not the way you thought he was going to answer your prayer. And sometimes you get more than you expect, actually. Krishna has 10 hands he can give you. You only have 2. So what can you accept with your 2 hands if he gives you with 10 hands? Yes, in the back? That's right. He's not like Shiva or the other demigods. They'll just give you whatever you want, get rid of you, and so they can go back to their bhajan. But Krishna is thinking what's good for you. Yes? Introspection. Very good. Yes, prayer is like introspection because you're revealing your mind, actually, to Krishna and your problems. And you're asking him to make a solution. You're depending on him, actually, as Srimati said. Anybody else? Did you have something? Oh, you had something? Yeah. Sharagati. Okay. So unless you have the 6 aspects of surrender, is that what he says? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, unless you have the 6 aspects of surrender within your heart. Yes. Okay, so her question is, because I said previously that Prabhupada said that no conscious prayers go in vain. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, unless you have these 6 symptoms of surrender, then Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, will not hear your prayers. So what? How can we answer this question? This is, seems like a great contradiction here. Yes? Yes? Okay, we'll go to Srila Prabhupada. We won't go straight to Krishna. Maybe he won't hear, but Prabhupada will hear. Because Prabhupada said right here. He said, so the process is that we go to this to Prabhupada, or you go to your spiritual master, your superior spiritual master, the acharyas, you go through this line, and Prabhupada will make Krishna hear. Prabhupada often said that don't offer directly to Krishna, you offer a flower to Radharani, and she will give it to, she will say to Krishna, oh, such a nice devotee here, better than me, you please take this flower, this devotee has given to you. So, therefore, Krishna might forget, but Prabhupada doesn't forget all of our prayers. And he will make sure Krishna notices us. And that's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Ambarish Maharaj was harassed by Durvasa Muni, then Durvasa Muni, what happened? Krishna sent the Sudarshan to kill Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa was running everywhere. He went to Lord Brahma. Brahma said, I can't help you. This is the Vishnu Chakra. I'm not powerful. He went to Shiva. Shiva said, sorry, I can't help you. And then finally he went to Vishnu. And Vishnu said, sorry, I can't help you. You offended my pure devotee. You have to go to him. You have to ask him forgiveness. So therefore, he had to go to the lotus feet of Parikshit. Oh, sorry, Ambarish, to get forgiveness. And Vishnu said at that time, he said that my devotees are more dear to me than my own life. And what to speak of my devotees? The devotees of my devotees, they are also very dear to me. So that's where our hope is. We're the devotees of the devotees. We're servant of the servant. So this is the parampara system, that we remain servant of the servant. And then our prayers will go to Krishna for sure. Prabhupada described the devotee as more merciful than the Lord himself. So Lord Chaitanya, he came in that mood, Gornitai. Nityananda was more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. He forgave Jagai Madhai. So Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill them. So Prabhupada, he's always bending the rules for us. He's always bending because he knows we cannot, you know, what kind of families we've come from. We can't follow so many rules. Therefore, he's helping us quite a bit. And he's actually, and that's the next thing I wanted to come to, was what is our qualification for offering prayers? Just like she said, Bhaktivinoda, he was very strict. He said, you know, unless you have these six symptoms, and yeah, Krishna's not going to hear you. So often in India, people think that only if you're born in a Brahmin family or you're this or you're that can you actually do these things, do devotional service, become a Hindu or do all the worship the deity. So Prahlad Maharaj, this was very, we can see this example of Prahlad Maharaj, that when Lord Nrisimhadeva was so angry and he wanted to kill Hiranyakashipu, he killed him. Even after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he was still angry. And nobody could pacify him. And even Lord Brahma, even all the demigods came and offered prayers, and still he was angry. And Lakshmi was afraid to go to Nrisimha because she said, I never saw my husband like this, and maybe he's not my husband because I never saw him like this. So therefore, she didn't go either to offer prayers. So therefore, they sent Prahlad. Prahlad, you go. You try and pacify him. So then Prahlad, he said in Bhagavatam, he said, how is it possible? I'm born in a family of demons, and all these great demigods, they're much more exalted than me. They offered wonderful prayers, excellent words, Sanskrit, and they're asking me to pray? Well, how is this? So that means that Prahlad had a quality that they didn't have. So what's that quality that he had, that he could actually pacify Nrisimhadeva? Yes. Humility, okay? What goes with purity? What goes with all these? Yes? What goes with the qualities of humility and purity? Louder? What? Devotion, yes? Helplessness, okay? Sincerity, very good, yes? What? Surrender, okay? Surrender, yes? Full faith. Okay, he had all these qualities. And we understand that from bhakti, all these qualities come. And of course, the heart, the life of bhakti is faith, shraddha. Shraddha. And that goes to all the levels of advancement. Yes, Vishakapriya. Yes. Well, okay. Fearlessness. Fearlessness. Yes, okay. Lakshmi also possesses all these qualities. So what did Prahlad have that Lakshmi didn't have? Yes.
It wasn't so much what Prahlad had, from what I understand, but
good.
The relationship.
Okay. He had a different relationship.
Yeah, it was a bit of a solid one.
Okay. He felt, as the one devotee here, I think you said, helplessness. So he felt that quality, the relationship of father to a helpless child. Whereas Lakshmi, she was not so helpless in that position. So Prahlad, he was very helpless. So this is very good. And also another devotee here said sincerity. I think it was you. And this is what Srila Prabhupada also says, that he had sincerity. And that's our qualification for praying to Krishna. Sincerity in prayer. That we can satisfy Krishna just by our sincere feeling. So also humility. Prabhupada said humility is also another quality. That you're mentioning all the qualities. It's very good. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj, he said, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. Lord Chaitanya, what did Lord Chaitanya, how did he pray in a humble state of mind? What did Lord Chaitanya pray? Trinadapi Sunichena. Yes, that was his prayer. So, therefore, Prabhupada said that we just have to have this quality of sincerity, humility. I'm very small, and I just must try to the best of my abilities to offer prayers to Krishna. Okay? So now I'd like to have another discussion on what are the different types of prayer. This will be helpful when we study Queen Kunti's prayers, that we know what are the different categories of prayer. For this, I'll need someone to come and write up here on this board. Do I have any volunteers? Yes? Okay, thank you. Can you just flip this page over? And there's some pens here. Yeah, and flip that little piece over. Okay, what are the types of prayer? This is called, yes. Oh, here we have a very long Sanskrit word. And if you haven't taken nectar devotion, you won't know it. Can you tell us in English? Good. Feelingly offering prayers. Prayers with feeling. And in Sanskrit, it's called sapratanarkik. Anyway, whatever. It would be hard for you to write. If you want to know the Sanskrit, look up in Nectar Devotion. Anybody else? What's another type of prayer? Humble submission? Okay, that's another type. Humility or humble submission. That's also in Nectar Devotion. Yes?
Longing.
Lala Samai. Okay, now we've got all the prayers from Nectar Devotion. Now you have to think for yourselves. After this, we've covered Nectar of Devotion, longing, Lala Samai. What are the kinds of prayers? Satsuk Maharaj has another four kinds of prayer. And what is that?
Praise.
Very good. Praise. Praising Krishna. Glorifying Krishna. What other kind of prayers are there? Forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. Okay? What else? Gratitude or thankfulness. Gratitude, very good. What's another type? Yes. Service, okay? Praying for service. Praying for service. So this is actually, we're getting into request here. You can also write in parentheses, request. There are different types of requests that we have from the Lord. So this is one type. A request. Okay? Any other types of prayer that we have or you can think of? Yes, actually. Yes, he has praise, forgiveness, gratitude, and request. We got them somehow or other. We got the four types that he has. These are his four types also. And there are more, but I don't have them written here. In some of my seminars, we come up with quite a few. Anybody think of any other types of prayer? Good. You pray for someone else. Yes, you pray for someone else. That's a very wonderful type of prayer. Yes. Pray for the whole world. Okay?
Or the whole world.
Someone else or the whole world? Okay, next, make another. All right. Okay, pray for the... Now you can turn over the page. This is what we should pray for. Now we're having requests here. These are all kinds of requests. Pray for the protection of Prabhupada's mission. We went into this very naturally, so that's good. What should we pray for? For the protection of Prabhupada's mission? Pray for sincere followers. Pray for his sincere followers, yes? You have a question. Okay, let's hold it till after we finish this one brainstorming, okay? Yes? You had anybody else? What shall we pray for? Every living entity, okay? We have very nice Vaishnavas here, yes? Pray for yourself, okay? That's very good. Don't forget, pray for advancement, okay? Yeah, this is also acceptable. Pray for advancement, yes, Srimati? Okay, pray to understand what is our mission. In the back there, you had your hand up. Pray for pure devotional service, good. That was on the other page, but we can write it again. Yes? Pray for purification, yes, that's good. And attraction. Okay, together, otherwise if you just get purification... You might end up in the Brahma Jyoti, right? If you just pray for purification, who knows where you'll go? You better get attraction for Krishna. Otherwise, you might be floating up in outer space for a while. Yes? Oh, yes. So many great Vaishnavas prayed for that, actually. Pray to stay in association of devotees. This was Prahlad's prayer also. From Nisringa said, what do you want? Anything, I'll give you any benediction. He said, I just want to be in the association of devotees. I want to serve my spiritual master, Narada Muni. And also Vritrasura, I believe, prayed like that. That he wanted to remain in the association of devotees. Yes. Oh, very nice prayer. The holy name will manifest in our heart. These are wonderful prayers of the Vaishnavas. So if you ever want to know what to pray for, you can just look at this list here and you'll get some ideas. What to pray for from Krishna. These are wonderful prayers. Anything else to add to this list of prayers? Yes. Good. We want to pray to increasingly please the Guru and Krishna. Very nice prayer. Remember, okay? To increasingly please Guru and Krishna. Next one is to remember Krishna. That's a very important prayer, especially at the time of death. Yes? Okay? That's very good if you're in anartha nivritti, to get rid of all material desires. And many of us are struggling in anartha nivritti. Anything else? Yes. Pray empowerment, yes. Pray for empowerment, and this is empowerment to preach. Empowerment. This was Prabhupada's prayer. When he landed in America, he took one look at the people. He said, how am I going to convince these people? There's so much in the modes. But it's possible if Krishna dances on my tongue, then it's possible. Otherwise, it's hopeless, hopeless situation. Very nice, thank you. Any other, yes? To become an instrument, very good. And this is what Arjuna, this is what our position is, that Krishna told Arjuna, you're just an instrument. So if we pray for that, that's very good. Then we won't have to pray for anything else, because that's our position. What kind of instrument? All right, what's the problem here? How should we qualify it? Unalloyed instrument, okay? No rust, no dirt, no grime on the instrument. Pure instrument, yes. To be fearless in our Guru's mission. I think you'll have to turn over a few pages because the other ones are written on. Do we have anything else in this list here of prayers? Okay, well, maybe we don't have to turn over. So this is very nice. You can meditate on these things. And the next time you're in front of Radhesham or Krishna Balaram or Gonitai, you can try to pray one of these prayers. Okay, thank you very much. You can sit down. So I believe, personally, I feel that these prayers of Queen Kunti, they're one of the most wonderful prayers we can pray for world peace. When you see, if people would simply accept the knowledge that is in these prayers, the mood that is in these prayers, then there would be peace, as Prahlad Maharaj says, that this is devotional service. So I would like to read to you one prayer of Srila Prabhupada. He wrote this in a letter to a devotee, that simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me, a super soul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even you send me into hell, it doesn't matter. Just as long as I can always chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing one very nice song in which they are requesting everyone to please chant Hare Krishna and come along with them. So that is our request to everyone. That was a prayer by Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneous prayer that he wrote in a letter to a devotee. So, does anybody know this song that Prabhupada's talking about, where Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they are calling everyone, you please come? That is our only request. You please chant Hare Krishna and come along with us. Yes? Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Yes? Which one? About Udila Aruna. Okay. You have another one in mind?
I was thinking Jeev Jago.
Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. How long are you going to sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? One more? Yeah. Yeah? Yes, yeah. Radha Krishna Bolbol. Bolo Reshabai. That everyone, you please chant the holy names of Radha and Krishna. And actually, I have a songbook here. So we can... Actually, that was a song that came to my mind, too. That Lord Chaitanya actually says that. He says, Radha Krishna Bolo, Shange Cholo, E Mato Bikochai. That you chant Radha Krishna, and you come along with me, and that's the only alms I'm begging. Because everybody's begging, all the mendicants. So he was a sannyasi mendicant. He was also begging. But what was he begging? He said, Shange Cholo, you please come with me and chant Radha Krishna Bol Bol. That's what I also thought of when I read this. Yeah, so but all of them say that. Jeev Jago is the same thing. You wake up, sleeping souls. Come with me, chant Hare Krishna. I'm giving you the medicine for your disease. So these are the this is the prayer of Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions at this point? Yes. Yes. For him, yes. Right. Yeah, that's right. So your point is that when Prabhupada asked us to pray for him when Prabhupada was very sick, it's not that he needed our prayers, but that he was involving us. Of course, he wanted to make us feel that he needed him, otherwise he wouldn't have told us to do it. But it's true that he was directly in the hands of Lord Krishna, and Krishna would do what he wanted. Yes? Yes. But it's good to pray. Yes, but still, what happens when you pray for them, you're meditating on them. So just that meditation is good, that you're meditating on the pure souls. So maybe they don't need your prayers, but you need to do the process. As you said, you yourself said, we needed to pray for Srila Prabhupada. Yes, yes, yes. They need our prayers. Yes. Did you have something? That we don't fall down, yes. Should pray daily for the protection of Krishna that we don't... Prabhupada said he himself was praying like that every day. I'm always praying that I won't fall down. So we should also pray like that. Pray for protection from fall down. What fall down? Forgetfulness of Krishna. Yes, Avishakapriya? Okay, let's continue this discussion. Right. Actually, no, but there was a quote which I couldn't find. I really wanted to bring to this class, where Prabhupada had asked a devotee to pray for him. And Prabhupada explained why. I can't exactly remember that. I was looking for it for quite a few days. It's Prabhupada said that we should pray for the spiritual master. But as I said before, it's when we pray for somebody like that who's superior to us, actually what happens is we're developing our relationship with that person. And this is what's happening. And this is why Prabhupada, at the end of Prabhupada's life, where he was, you know, he was completely in the hands of his devotees, and he was just making them mad he was saying he wanted to go and Govardhan Parikrama, and then some devotee said, no, you can't go, Prabhupada, you'll die, you'll certainly die if you go on Parikrama. So Prabhupada was just allowing that devotees would stop him from going, and some devotee said, no, he shouldn't be stopped, he's the spiritual master, whatever he wants, you should follow, and other devotees were saying, no, if he goes, then he will surely die. So Prabhupada accepted both of those sentiments towards him, that the one of protection, that sometimes you can also feel that way, even though your guru is everything, you're depending on him in all ways, but you can have sometimes that feeling that of love in the sense of protection, that you would like to protect him. Yes, just like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes, you know, demons would come and they would try to harm him, devotees would feel like protecting Srila Prabhupada, even though, of course, they know, well, you know, he's the pure devotee Mahabhagavat, so, you know, just let the demon hit him. But no, you feel the, no, we have to do something to protect him also. Yes. Okay. So her point is that we're aspiring for Goloka Vrindavan. There are many rasas there. It's not awe and reverence, but we have a very intimate relationship with Krishna there. So we're aspiring more like that. And we see, I saw in my life with Srila Prabhupada, some devotees were really afraid of Srila Prabhupada and they would just start trembling if they went in the room with him. Whereas other devotees, you know, they just walked right in and, oh, hi, how are you doing? You know, almost very, very friendly and very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. But not everybody, you know, it just depends on the devotees. Like Devi Shakti was telling her remembrances of Prabhupada. And she was seeing other devotees that had a much more intimate relationship than she did. And then one day she decided, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to do that. So she bought a whole bunch of sweets one time. And she went into Srila Prabhupada's room and said, oh, I bought these sweets for you. And she just started to be on a quite different level. And Prabhupada said, no, why aren't you in the kitchen cooking? You know, and then later on he praised her, and he was telling another devotee, I like her. She's always very quiet and very reserved and always doing her service like that. That's what he wanted her. He liked her like that. Not so much as the intimate one that just walks in and puts a sweet in his mouth and whatever. So we have different relationships with the spiritual master and with Krishna. And we can't be artificial in our relationships either. And we'll understand as time goes on, it will be revealed to us what that relationship is. Do you have a question? Yes? No? Okay. Anything else? Any other questions or comments or additions? Yes. I can't. Louder. I can't hear you. If you pray for somebody... Yes. How does it work? How do you develop a relationship with them by praying? Yes. Because when you're praying for a... So her question is, how do you develop a relationship with a person that you pray for? So this is a very nice question. And if you really want to know, you should try it. That you will, if you pray for somebody, then you will develop a relationship with that person. So oftentimes we go through life and we have different feelings toward people. I like this one, I don't like this one. We have that. We just naturally, it's the way this world is. So when you pray for someone, then you're actually feeling very, it's very positive towards that person. You're seeing the person in a very positive way. Or you're seeing the person how you would like to see the person, in a very wonderful, positive way. And you're actually thinking for their welfare when you're praying to Krishna, help this person. And how it actually happens, I don't know, but it happens when you actually meditate on helping someone. Then you develop a very nice relationship with that person. And not only with that person, but with Krishna and with the deity and with whoever you're praying to, if you're praying to Krishna. In fact, one way to, if you're in trouble with somebody, if you're having trouble with somebody, one devotee suggested me a way to do it, and I've tried it. It works very nicely. That if you're having a fight with somebody or something, then you pray to the super soul in the heart of that person. Because you no longer see that person as your enemy, and you see, oh, super soul's there, and he's got a relationship with Krishna, and you know he's a devotee, and like that, or she's a devotee. And you start seeing things differently. It just changes your whole outlook on things when you pray. But of course, the best way to understand it is to do it. Do it yourself. And that way you experience. This whole process is experiential, devotional service. We learn by experience. Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam, in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that as we perform our devotional service, everything is revealed to us, step by step. What is Krishna's part? What is Krishna's part in this? He's doing everything. That's his part, is that he's actually the one who's changing the person's heart, helping the person. And you are simply trying to touch Krishna. So when you pray for somebody, when you pray to Krishna for somebody, you're touching Krishna. You're having a relationship with Krishna also. And he will help you also. And that's also been my experience here in Vrindavan. I'm sure it's the same everywhere else in the world. That when you help somebody, oftentimes you could help more than the person you help. So sometimes I'll go to somewhere and I'll visit someone and I'll think, okay, I'm going to help this person. And I end up being the one that learns more. And I get help more in my spiritual life. Because oftentimes the problems that other people are having, we ourselves are having too. And when we try to help them in their problems, then we solve our problems also. Or Krishna speaks. Krishna gives us the intelligence to help the person. Then you also, then we also, oh my God, I have that problem too. You don't realize it until you, the other person comes to you. Okay, any other last questions? Okay, so, yes, one more. This is the last one. Yes. Yes. What is your question? That when you pray every day, if you have problems in your life, is it okay? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. That's what Gajendra did. He had a big problem. This crocodile was biting his foot. For thousands of years, he was biting his foot. And Gajendra wanted him to let go. And this crocodile was not letting go. So what? This crocodile is actually the crocodile of Maya. And it's got us by the foot. And we say, let go, let go. No, I'm not letting go. So we cannot fight Maya. We cannot fight the crocodile of Maya. We cannot get free of our problems by ourselves. So the only thing we can do is to pray to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, he prayed, please get me out of this mess. Somehow I got myself in the mess of this material world. Please get me out of this mess. Please place me as an amount of dust at your lotus feet. So Gajendra, he also prayed like that, that please give me liberation from this present problem, but also from the whole material existence. So you should know that you can pray for the immediate distress, but another one will come. So it's best at the same time, like Gajendra prayed, you can please free me from this and also from the whole thing, the whole big problem. Yes? Yes. Akama, sarvakamova, mokshakama, utarati. That if you, whether you're full of desires or you have no desires, you're free from desires, worship Krishna. Pray to Krishna. Continue. Don't stop praying. Why you want to stop praying? It's one of the... No. Yeah, keep praying. It will be heard. Oh, okay, we have one more minute. All right, one more minute. What? He's giving you difficulties on purpose. What if he is? Yes. Yeah, that's very good. If you can take that attitude, then that's very nice. If you say, okay, Krishna is giving me this difficulty so I can learn something. So that's very good. But if you don't have that attitude, you can't pray that way. Her is like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Right. Okay, that's a good prayer. So if you're in difficulty, if you're in misery, some problem has come, perhaps Krishna wants you to learn something. So you can pray, okay, what do I have to learn from this? Oftentimes I find, unless I learn my lesson, it doesn't go away. Until you learn your lesson, the misery doesn't go. So there is generally something you have to learn in the miseries. And once you learn your lesson, you pass the test, it goes away. Of course, another one may come, but it's a different test. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. You can, if you like, if you have some time, it's not required, you can read ahead from verses 18 to 22 in your book, if you like, and that will be our class tomorrow. We'll be discussing the first four prayers of Queen Kunti. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.